In a fast-paced society that is continuously searching for truth, the Bible has the answers that will bring true joy and lasting satisfaction. We invite you to join us for Truth for Today with Dr. Neil Jackson. Dr. Jackson's verse-by-verse preaching will answer your deepest questions from God's holy word.
How committed are you to Scripture? How committed are you to dialoguing about Jesus every day of your life?
So open your Bible and your heart to hear Truth for Today.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Truth for Today. I love the Gospel of John because it's all about Jesus. And today we see Jesus' heart for the world, how He is the good shepherd who seeks and saves those which are lost. So if today's sermon is a blessing to you, you can receive it with your generous donation. If you'd like to receive the entire series, request it, the Gospel of John, Volume 6, with your donation of $50 or more. God's home is called heaven 550 times in the Bible. Luke 19:12, heaven is called a country. That's where people live. 2 Peter chapter 1, it's called a kingdom. That's where subjects live. Hebrews chapter 11 is called a city. Well, that's where citizens live. But when we come to John 14, it's called a home. That's where families live. And so I pull out my hanky in my introduction. We're talking about heaven today. Heaven for the family of God. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus gives, really, I think, the best description of heaven here in this passage than you'll find anywhere in all of Scripture. So three truths about heaven, sermon I'm entitling, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. First truth, notice the place called heaven. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Trouble there means to be stirred up, to be shaken up. Refer to a ship in the middle of a storm that was tossed about and they were concerned that it was going to go down. That's what he's talking about. You say, why were they troubled? John 13, verse 33 and 34, he had just told them he was leaving. They had abandoned everything. They had forsaken their nets and their livelihoods to follow Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, I'm leaving you. They are troubled. The antidote to fear is faith. And you notice this verse. He says, hey, don't be troubled. And the way you don't be troubled and overwhelmed with life, you got to believe. Look what the verse says. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe. Believe in God. Believe also in me. It's in the imperative tense. It's a command. Jesus says, believe me. Beyond the grave, there is a heaven. Believe me. Behind the casket, there is a heaven. Believe me, beyond the tombstone, there is a heaven. Believe me, hey, I'm going back to heaven. I'm going to be crucified, but death is not the end. For those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, belief, when he says that, shows that faith is involved. You will only see heaven from this life, through eyes of faith. It's the only way you'll ever see it. Remember the old song, there's a land that is fairer than day. Remember the next line? By faith, you'll see it afar. You're only going to see heaven from this life through eyes of faith. Heaven is a matter of faith because none of us have been there. And if somebody tells you they have, they probably ate too much for supper last night. They haven't been there. Look at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? believe also in me. Now the Jewish people, they believed there was one God. Moses had taught that in the Ten Commandments. But Jesus takes it one step farther. You believe in God, believe also in me. Wait a minute, believing God is one thing. Believing in man, that's something totally different. Jesus is saying, I am God. He is saying right from the first verse, guys, don't be troubled. Death is not the end, but the key is, you gotta believe in me, Jesus says. Look what it says, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare, see the next word, a place for you. Heaven is a real, definite place. He says, I go to prepare a place. Greek word is topos. We get our word topography from this place. Topography is the study of places. Some say, oh, heaven is a figment of somebody's imagination. Others say, heaven is a fantasy. Heaven's a dream. Heaven's just wishful thinking. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Jesus, it doesn't say was taken up into a fantasy. It says he was taken up into heaven. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father, not who is wishful thinking, not who is a dream, our Father, which is in heaven. Ezekiel didn't write, I see a wishful thought open unto me. He says, I see heaven open unto me. You remember Stephen the martyr as he is being stoned. He didn't say, oh, behold, I see fantasy open and the Son of Man standing there at the right hand of God. No, 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 no. Glory, hallelujah. He says, I see heaven open and the Son of Man is standing there right there by the throne of God. Heaven, understand it, is a real, real place. Just as real as Bennett, North Carolina is Raleigh. It's probably more real than Raleigh. Yes. Heaven, more real than this pulpit that I'm standing behind. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. When we pray, God says he will hear from heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 says we're to pray to our Father, which is in heaven. Luke 24, verse 51 says Jesus was carried up into heaven. John chapter 6, verse 38 says Jesus came down from heaven. Heaven is a real place. Look at verse 2. In my Father's house. Speaks of a residence. So where is heaven? Heaven is the dwelling place of God Almighty. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 5. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. You say, where is heaven? Heaven is where God is. That's where heaven is. That's all you say. I want to know where it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. Paul says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Who is this? Such a one that was caught up to the third heaven. So if there is a third heaven, that means there's a first heaven, there's a second heaven. You look down at verse 4. How he was called up into paradise. So third heaven in verse 2 and paradise in verse 4, they're the same place. So you say, if there is third heaven, what's he talking about? Well, the first heaven is the atmospheric heaven, where the birds fly, where the planes fly, where the rain falls. Psalm 147, verse 8. Covereth the heaven with clouds, prepares rain for the earth, who maketh the grass to grow upon the mountains. That's the first heaven. You say, where's the second heaven? It's the planetary heaven. The sun, moon, the stars, planets, Jupiter, Mars, Venus. Genesis 1, 16, verse 17. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. So that's the second heaven, the planetary heaven, the Mars, the Jupiters, where the sun, moon, and stars are. You say, where is the third heaven? Where God is. You see the first heaven by day. You see the second heaven by night. And with a telescope, you see the third heaven by faith. We see it by faith. You say, I want to know where it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. If I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, was caught up to the third heaven. So where is heaven? It's up. Verse 4, how he was caught up in paradise. So where is heaven? It's up. Some of you are smart, trying to get me. You say, well, we are orbiting. And so what is up for us, for the Australians and the Chinese, is down. Okay, you got me. Psalm 75, verse 6. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. You know which one it leaves out? The north. So where is heaven? It's up. Beyond that fixed north star. It's up north. You say, I don't know about that. Psalm 48, verse 2. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Where is Mount Zion? Mount Zion in Scripture is always a reference to heaven. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north? Up, 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 up. Beyond that north star, you're going to find heaven. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 talks about Lucifer being cast out of heaven. You come down to verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. You say, where is heaven? Up. Up. Up north. Heaven is where Jesus is. The truth for every saint of God. The very moment you take your last breath on this earth, you are instantaneously to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You will be in the presence of Jesus. That's glory, hallelujah. Some Baptist is shouting here. That's where heaven is. Number one, the place called heaven. Number two, notice the preparation of heaven. It says, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. What's this? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus is building us a home. Jesus is the perfect architect. You think about what he has created in this world where we live. You think about the Niagara Falls. You think about the Grand Canyons. You think about the oceans. You think about Grandfather Mountain. You think about the creeks and the rivers. He created that. Look what he says. I go to prepare a place, and I love this, glory, hallelujah. I go, and he says it twice so we don't miss it. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus loves beauty. He made the rainbow. He made the sunset. He made the, oh, we won't talk about what color it is, the sky blue. Yeah, he did. Made it all in 6 days' time. And now he's gone back to heaven to prepare a mansion just for you. A little girl asked R.G. Lee, "Mr. Lee, what's heaven like?" This is how he answered. "It's the most beautiful place the mind of God could conceive. And it's the greatest place the power of God could construct." Can you imagine what heaven's like? The intricate design of a rose. The precision of the little wing of a butterfly. He's the one that's preparing your mansion. Tracy's family, our family, is coming to visit this week. My mother-in-law, God bless her, she's coming to visit this week. And I am pretty fired up about that one. You know I am. And so we've been preparing. Tracy gave me a list. We got to clean up. Parents coming. I need you to do this. I need you to do this. And I don't want you doing this, but I want you to get somebody to do this. Because we have people coming, so we're preparing. Jesus went away 2,000 years ago to prepare a mansion for you. Think about that. He knows what you like. He knows what you love. Can you imagine when you walk into your mansion and Jesus says, "I made this just for you. None like it in all of heaven. This one's made just for you because I know what your interests are. I know what your uniqueness or your peculiarities are. Hey, I have designed it especially for you because I love you." Anybody ever been to the Biltmore House? Go on, let's see a hand. Threw down some money at that Biltmore House. 6 years to build. 1,000 men were involved. 4 acres of floor space contains 250 rooms. 65 fireplaces, 43 bathrooms, 34 bedrooms. I like this, my favorite room in the house. 3 kitchens. Stone staircase has 102 steps. Banquet hall is 74 by 42. Dinner table will seat 64 people. And if it was in heaven, it would be in the worst of the ghetto section. Because Jesus didn't make it. Everything in heaven is made by the custom builder, the Lord Jesus himself. According to what you're going to want, he's made it just for you. Look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands." See those next 4 words. Eternal in the heavens. I don't know if it's ever happened to you. Ever. We've been in our house now like 12 years. And we love our builder and everything. But our hot water heater went out not too long ago. And Tracy got tired of the wall color paint. "Well, I want to paint it this color." And the carpet's worn out. We've already replaced it. You know what I love about my mansion in heaven? It's eternal. Woo! No remodeling. No replacing the floor. Hey, it lasts forever. Can I get a witness out there? It lasts forever and ever and ever. The best part of heaven. Look at verse 3. "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." And it doesn't say "and take you." It says "receive you." Receive you unto myself. Jesus' desire and longing is that we be reunited with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. To the dying thief on the cross, he said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." To the church in 1 Thessalonians, he said, "So shall we ever be with the Lord." Jesus is not where heaven is. Heaven is where Jesus is. My grandpa says, if there was no streets of gold, If there were no gates of pearl, if I had to wade up to the throne in mud knee deep, heaven would be heaven when I get to see Jesus' face. Heaven! It's all about being with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you one more and I may just shout. Look, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? One author put it like this. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be so like the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil won't be able to tell us apart. Woo! Hey, if he comes to tempt me, he might as well tempt Jesus, because I'm going to be so much like the Lord Jesus. Hey, I won't be tempted by his traps and his tricks. And he says, Glory, I like this one. My chances of being thrown out of heaven are the same as God's being thrown out of heaven, because I'm going to be just like the Lord Jesus. The preparation for heaven. Can I get a witness this morning? Number three, and I'll wrap it up. The permit for heaven. And whether I go, you know. And the way you know. Thomas asked him, verse 5. Thomas says unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? So he asked the question, Jesus, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know how to get there. Jesus gives the greatest answer that has ever been given for how anybody will go to heaven. Verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. See that little phrase, I am the way? The Christian phrase in the New Testament really is never used. The Christian faith is referred to as the way. Acts chapter 22, verse 5. Letters of Damascus that if I found any of this way, I would bring them bound to Jerusalem. Acts 24, verse 14, according to the way that they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. So the New Testament description of Christianity is the way. So the way to live, the way to die, the way to go to heaven is through Jesus. We're headed into Easter. Jesus died on the cross. You know why he died on the cross? For your sin. He died in your place as your substitute. You say, what do I have to do to go to heaven? Believe in Jesus. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know my sin disqualifies me for heaven. But Jesus, you just didn't die on that rugged cross for somebody at some point in history. I believe you died in my place to pay for my sin. And Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I accept you as my Lord. I believe you were buried and I believe you rose again. And I'm going to follow you to the day I die. I don't know if it happens like this. But when you die and you go to heaven, St. Peter meets you at the gate, or Gabriel, whoever, and they say, why should we let you in? The only answer that's going to work, the blood of a crucified lamb. Jesus, 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 only Jesus. Hey, I come not with my wealth, not with my church membership, not with my baptism certificate. I come because Jesus died for me. The only reason any of us will be in heaven. We accepted Jesus as our personal Savior. You know the song. Imagine what it's going to be like your first second in heaven. Can you just imagine? All that He has prepared for us, but all that He has prepared for you. Now, I'm fired up about seeing my loved ones. And I'm fired up about seeing Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. Yeah, I want to see them, and I want to sit down and talk to them. But what a day that's going to be. When my Jesus I shall see. Look, let me show you this verse one more time. You go back to 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. See, we're seeing through a glass darkly right now. We're seeing Jesus, and we're seeing heaven through eyes of faith. But can you imagine what it's going to be like when you see Jesus for the first time? One of my favorite things to do in the whole wide world. I love doing weddings. Get this sucker out of here. And me and the bride, the groom and the best man. Here comes all of the substitutes, all of the pretty girls. They're walking in. They're getting set up. And then they close the door. And they're waiting for the bride. I'm never looking at the bride. I'm always looking at the groom. Because this is the one. He's already made a commitment to me. This is the one he's spending the rest of his life with. And he's saying, I wish they'd hurry up and open that door. I wish they'd hurry up and open that door. I want to see her. I want to see her. I want to see her. And they open it up. And here she comes. And he is fired up. Sometimes there's tears. Sometimes there's excitement. And sometimes he said, preacher, get this wedding ceremony on because I want to get it over. Hey! Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get to heaven?
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Truth for Today. Our prayer is that God's Word has ministered to your deepest need and answered many of your questions about life. Truth for Today is only able to broadcast on this station through the regular prayers and financial support of God's people. Would you consider becoming a monthly partner of Truth for Today? You may mail your gifts to Truth for Today, Post Office Box 104, Bennett, North Carolina, 27208. If you would like to receive a copy of today's message, please request this sermon with your donation of any amount. If you would like to donate by credit card, you may call 336-581-3170. Be assured that God's Word has the answer for your every need. And join us next time for Truth for Today.